TARP Getting Money Back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Here's something to help wake you up this Monday morning. A government program is costing less than they thought it would. The White House says the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, is going to cost $200 billion less than expected. That's mostly thanks to banks repaying the bailout money. Dartmouth business professor Matthew Slaughter says federal programs have helped make that happen.
These banks have enjoyed very low borrowing costs thanks to the FDIC guaranteeing the debt that has been issued by many of these banks, and also thanks to the Federal Reserve continuing with its historically loose monetary policy.
J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs have all repaid their bailout money. Bank of America just announced plans to repay as soon as this week. And the markets are happy this Monday morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 28 points, a quarter of a percent, to 10,417. The Nasdaq also up a quarter of a percent, about 4 points, to 2199. The S&P 500 also up a quarter percent, about 2 points, to 1108. Overseas markets were mixed. London's FTSE is down about a quarter of a percent. That partly on news the UK might start taxing bankers' bonuses. That is, of course, a big issue on this side of the pond as well. Today is the deadline for Goldman Sachs shareholders to submit proposals for the firm's annual meeting. One hot-button issue? How much money Goldman plans to pay its people. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Goldman Sachs plans to hand out almost $17 billion in bonuses, so the company has embarked on a charm offensive, trying to convince shareholders that everything's under control.
Had this happened 2 years ago, there would be very little chance, I think, of a shareholder revolt. Today, I think it's a very different story.
Charles Elson directs the Weinberg Center on Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. He says investors like the 97% return on their stock this year, but many are concerned too much of the firm's profits are going to employees. Not everyone's upset, though.
It is at the high end, but then again, the results are also at the high end.
That's Eric Marinac, chief investment officer at Victory Capital Management, which owns stock in Goldman. He says shareholders already have as much say as they need.
You're always free to sell your stock.
Marinac says Goldman has to pay its people what the market demands, but he's okay with more stock-based compensation to encourage long-term thinking. Golden handcuffs, he calls it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Imagine Pepsi with a seat on Coke's board of directors. Well, that's essentially what eBay is fighting for in a case that goes before a Delaware court today. eBay wants a seat on the board of Craigslist. Bob Moon has more.
When eBay bought just over 25% of Craigslist back in 2004, it got a seat on the board and made no secret that it wanted to learn how to get into the online classified market. Soon after, it launched a rival classified site called Kijiji, and then came the lawsuits. eBay claims Craigslist execs quietly sold new shares, diluting eBay's stake just enough to throw it off the board. Craigslist accuses eBay of stealing confidential information. The whole case has securities lawyer Jacob Frankel scratching his head.
It borders on the incredible for a competitor to have a seat on that board.
Craigslist leads the U.S. market, but eBay's classifieds rule in numerous foreign countries. Peter Zollman writes the Classified Intelligence Report. He says eBay sees the growth it needs in classifieds.
Because it is such an important business and such a lucrative business in many cases, that looks like it's going to be one of the keys for eBay for the next few years.
But attorney Jacob Frankel wonders if there's something else at stake.
This case very much smacks of bruised egos battling it out.
We'll hear from execs on both sides starting today. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
This year, a lot of us are watching our holiday budgets, lots of bargain hunting. A good moment, perhaps, to explore one of the best American bargains of all time, Alaska. The U.S. bought Alaska in 1867 from Russia for about $7 million. But was that bargain a bust? David Barker thinks so. He's a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So Alaska was purchased by William Seward, Secretary of State under Lincoln. From what I understand, it was about 2 cents an acre. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Well, it does. And I first got interested in it as an example to teach in class of, you know, the best real estate deal ever in history. the more I looked into it, the weaker it looked. And the way I looked at it was U.S. taxpayers financed the purchase. And so the return to those taxpayers was any tax revenue that was received from Alaska minus the expenses of governing Alaska. And a lot of the other economic benefits like trade and other sorts of things could have been obtained without the purchase.
It's conventional wisdom that this was such a great deal. And Alaska has so many natural resources and other things. Why ultimately has this been a loss for taxpayers?
Well, I think mostly the cost of governing it. Alaska is very expensive to govern, always has been. It's a remote place, and the weather conditions make things difficult. There have also been natural disasters like the earthquake of 1964 that ended up being very expensive for the federal government. And projects like the Alaska Railroad turned out to be much more difficult than anticipated and cost a lot more money.
What about some of the other purchases that we made or acquisitions that we made? How do those stack up?
Well, turns out, for example, that Hawaii was a positive net present value project.
Oh, really?
The acquisition cost of Hawaii was much lower. We just assumed some debt of Hawaii, and the tax revenue has been positive ever since.
David Barker is a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, Virgin Galactic unveils Spaceship Two, its commercial spacecraft built to take passengers on a short ride into space, including about 5 minutes of zero gravity. People are paying about $200,000 to reserve their spot, which sounds expensive, but after a couple months of holiday eating, can you really put a price on 5 minutes of weightlessness? In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.